Welcome to the January 4th, 2009 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today we celebrate College Sunday and the baptism of Wilson Alexander, Harrison Andrews, Owen Blink, Matthew Goodman, and Dylan Rollins. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polillo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. That was pretty good. We'll give you one more chance. Happy New Year. Oh, very good. It's good to see everyone this morning. This is a special day in the life of our congregation. We will be celebrating two ordinances of the church. We will be doing communion, and we will also be having a service of baptism. And that's why I stand before you at this particular moment, because last week I had a wonderful conversation with Mr. Harrison Andrews here, and he came to my office and told me he had prayed to receive Christ a while back, but that he was ready to be baptized. And I said, well, when do you want to do that? And he said, well, when do you have in the next one? I said, this Sunday. And you see this look like, oh my, we can't work this out. And I said, well, certainly we can work this out. And so this morning I'm coming to let you know that he has prayed to receive Christ as his Lord and Savior. He is now publicly professing Christ as his Savior, and he would like, with the church's pleasure, to be baptized this morning. So if you are in favor of letting him go ahead and be baptized, not that we have to vote on God's will, But if you will pray for him and encourage him as he continues in his walk with Christ, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen.
All right, babe. Looks like we're going to go get dressed for baptism. Thank you for being here this morning. Don Page, where are you? All right.
He stole my thunder with a good morning and a happy new year. You did that one too. So, welcome to College Park this morning. If you haven't noticed, I'm not the cute little redheaded youth guy that's usually up here. So that means it is College Sunday at College Park, and we are happy to have you all here. We'd like to find out who's in worship today. If you have any complaints about the service, we can verify if you are even here. The pew pad that's in your pew, if you'll pass it down, write your name. Members, if you have any change of information, we'd like to know about it. Guests, if you're a first-time guest, we'd like to know about it. If you request any information, you can leave it in the pew pad. If you'll pass it down, if you're done, rip it out, the last person at the pew, that'd help us out. Today we have a regular schedule, minus the Panthers are not playing, so it's not exactly regular. There will be no special activities this afternoon. Youth, there is no... youth choir today. Every other snack supper. Jeff Allen. There is youth choir today. Every other thing that's on here might be wrong, so bear with me. Mr. Roby Walls, will you please come up?
Thank you, Don. Appreciate that. Folks, I would like to thank the congregation for your prayers for my daughter during the past several months. My daughter Julia was diagnosed this summer with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and multiple myeloma. She took chemo treatments at Baptist Hospital and then was given a transplant at Duke Medical Center. She was very fortunate to be able to give her own stem cells, which that's good. The next part of her treatment will be what is called a mini transplant. This means that she will need stem cells from a donor other than her own. Her sister, Connie, was tested to see if she matched, and she was not a viable candidate. So, our family, along with Division 5, of the Carolinas District of Kiwanis International, have been conducting a marrow drive for the past several months. And this marrow drive will culminate here at College Park on January the 17th from 11 o'clock until 3. That's 11 o'clock a.m. to 3 p.m. In order to be eligible to be a donor, You must be between ages of 18 and 60. You must be willing to donate to any patient in need. You must meet, certain health requirements. You must be willing to answer questions, health questions, at the time of registration. And you must be willing to have the inside of your cheek swabbed. And that will, of course, collect cell samples that they will take to a lab and determine if you are a match. We trust that this will help Julia as well as other patients that are in need. Like I said, this drive will culminate here at College Park on the 17th. Now, if you're not able to make this drive here at College Park, then there's one on January the 10th at Marketplace Mall. It's a health care and marrow drive, and I really don't know the time for that. They haven't given that to me yet. It may be all day there at Marketplace. One bit of super information that we're very happy to hear, and I know you will. Julia's recent visit to Duke found that she is now in remission. Isn't that wonderful? Now that means, that does, thank you. Thank you. This doesn't mean that she will not have to have this mini transplant. But she will know more about that when she visits Duke toward the end of this month. Folks, continue to remember her in your prayers. Thank you a lot for listening to me, and I hope that I'll be able to see you on the 17th here at College Park. Thank you a lot.
As the ushers come down the aisle, we'd like to say a special welcome to our guests today. As they make their way back up the aisle, any guests, we'd ask you to raise your hand, not to embarrass you, but to give you some information about our church, what we do here, what our people stand for here, and just to give you a special welcome. I'd like to thank you for coming today. We have a lot to be thankful this week at College Park, a lot. Ruby Walls, our families here at the church, have suffered some tragedies this week. We have a lot to be thankful for. In the next few minutes, I'd like for you to prepare your heart for worship and just understand the new year and the new blessings that God has given us. Thank you.
Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, as we enter this new year, help us develop a spirit that is eager to grow and walk closer with you. Help us to let go of old ways and to seek your face with an openness and desire to serve. Help us to be fully attentive to you in our life's journey, to see you with a steady eye, and to understand you more completely. We are on the path of your choosing. Please help us to remember that every moment is alive with your glorious presence. Guide us to be connected with you as we enter into worship and let your Spirit direct our paths. With love we pray. Amen.
This is Wilson Alexander, and Wilson has publicly professed Christ as his Savior, and he wants to follow the Lord's example and be baptized this morning. And so I want to invite to honor him and the decision he's made. For those of you that are family members, would you please stand? Family members, thank you. And those that have been a part of Wilson's Christian education through Sunday school and discipleship and choirs and mission groups and all of those, would you please join the family in standing? Y'all could remain standing while his father issues a charge to him.
Wilson, your baptism and what it represents that you have put your faith and trust in Jesus as your Savior is truly an answer to our prayers. This is the most important decision that you'll ever make. Your mommy and I are so proud of you. You are so precious to us and to God, and I know that God has great things ahead of you. It is such a neat thing to see your faith growing right before our eyes. You now want to pray for others and pray at meals, and this is such a blessing. When I asked you what your favorite Bible verse was, you said John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." Today, with your baptism and making your decision to follow Christ publicly, you are living out this verse with your faith. Hold on to God through good times and bad, and always remember that He will be with you no matter what. I asked about your favorite Bible story and anticipated your answer when you said, "You know, the story about the man on the road who got beaten up, and the two men walked on by and looked the other way, but the third man stopped and helped them. You know, the Good Samaritan." Then you explained it is important to help other people because one day we might need help, and we would want someone to help us. Currently, the favorite song you've been singing on the radio, Christian radio, is "Give Me Your Eyes" by Brandon Heath. And our hope is in your life that you'll see others through Jesus' eyes. Wilson, you amaze me and make me proud to see how your faith is influencing your decisions. And I hope you will always remember to seek what God wants for your life and search and apply the Bible as you live out your faith every day. And I want to leave you with this scripture, Wilson. This is from Colossians 3:12-15. It says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have with one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful." Love you, Wilson. Proud of you.
Wilson, because you've publicly professed Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's now a pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Wilson, your mom's here, and she's going to hand to you a candle, and that candle is symbolic of letting your light shine before men, okay, as a new believer. This is Harrison Andrews, who you've already met this morning. And Harrison comes to be obedient to God's call in his life. And I want to ask his family if they would join him in standing. And those who have been a part of his Christian education to this point through all the ministries of the church, would you please stand as well? And Harrison, your grandmom is down here, and she's going to deliver a charge to you, buddy.
Harrison, your dad and mom and I are so proud of you today for the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. When you were asked who you wanted to read this morning, you said, "I want P. Mama to read." That's the name you gave me when you were so small you couldn't say Grandmama, and it has stuck. And I cherish that name very much. You don't know how honored I am to be standing here today. When you were born, I held you in my arms. You were only minutes old. I knew I was hooked on this grandmother thing right away. When you were just a little fella, I would pick you up on Sunday mornings and bring you here to Sunday school. I am so grateful for all your Sunday school teachers, your Mission Friends leaders, your RA leaders, your prayer partners, your choir leaders, and for Raymond and Jeff in the teaching that they have given to you and the nurturing that they all have shown to you in these almost 9 years. There are so many things in this life that will be distracting and seem so unimportant to you at the time. But the most important thing in your life will be the love that God has for you. The love he showed us when he sent his son to be here on this earth with us, whose birthday we just celebrated. And the love for all of us by giving his son so we would have everlasting life. The love that God will show you through people during your lifetime will be a blessing far more important than anything else in this life. There'll be disappointments and trials in this life, but never forget this day, Harrison, and that God loves you. My hope and prayer for you is that you will always have a church family like College Park to love you, encourage you, to be there for you in the good times and the times that are not so good. Harrison, I was your age when I publicly accepted Jesus into my life as a child in Murphy. And later in life, I thought, was I really too young? But then one Sunday morning, right here in College Park, in one of Mr. Martin's sermons, one of our former pastors, he said that God accepts us where we are when we ask Jesus into our hearts. We are all children in God's eyes when we first accept him. And then we continue to grow in the faith and love of God as long as we live. My prayer for you, and you and Murphy are in my prayers every day, is that you will continue to grow in your faith and knowledge of God and his wondrous love, and that you will continue to be the kind and thoughtful person that you are today. Harrison, a scripture passage I chose is in Mark, the 10th chapter. It's when they were bringing the little children to Jesus, and he said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I will tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. And then one verse from James, the first chapter. "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised for those who love him." Harrison, I know your grandfather, whom you never met, is smiling down today. The Bible I read from was bought with a love offering given to me by the Ruth Sunday School class in your grandfather's memory, and I want you to have this Bible. You will never fully understand how much I love you. And God bless you.
Harrison, because you've publicly accepted Christ and professed him publicly and want to follow his example in baptism, it's now a pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Harrison, your mom's here and she's got a candle for you to remind you to let your light shine before men. This is Owen Blink. If you're a family member of Owen, I want to ask you if you would join us in standing. And those who've been a part of his Christian education through all the church's ministries, if you would please stand as well. And Owen, your mom's here, down here, and she's going to deliver a charge to you.
Owen, the verse I have chosen for you is from Galatians, where Paul is teaching about living by the Holy Spirit's power. In chapter 5, verse 22, he writes, "When the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The reason I chose this verse for you, because I was reminded of a day after Bible school when you were very little, and I was talking to your brother about what it meant to have fruit of the Spirit. I was explaining that we were all like trees bearing the fruit of the Spirit. And you looked at me, I remember distinctly, you crossing your arms, and you stomped your foot, and you told me, "I have no fruit on my tree." I knew then that you were wrong. I have seen fruit growing on your tree over the years. I saw it the morning before school when you asked Jesus into your heart, and I see it today. Always live by the power of the Holy Spirit that is in you, and you will have a lot of fruit on your tree. We love you.
Owen, because you've publicly professed Christ as your Lord and Savior, it is a pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, Owen, your dad's here, and he's got a candle to give to you. I want you to hang on to that and keep it, remind you, and let your light shine before men, okay? This is Matthew Goodman. I want to invite his family, if they would, join us in standing. And those who've been a part of his Christian education as he grew up here at College Park through all the ministries of the church, if you would please stand. And Matthew, your mom is right here, and she's going to deliver a charge to you this morning.
Matthew, a name which in Hebrew means gift from God. You certainly are that to us. And today you are here to make public your decision to give back to God the gift He wants most from us, the gift of our hearts. Today you make public your decision to God to accept God's gift of salvation and to commit yourself to seeking and following His will for your life. What an awesome decision. You have given this deep and careful thought, and we couldn't be more proud of your decision. Continue to give the decisions in your life deep and careful thought, looking to God for guidance through Scripture and prayer. As we read in Proverbs 3, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life with many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." You know being baptized doesn't mean that your life will be perfect, and that troubles and disappointments will not come your way. But what God does promise is that He will never forget those who love Him. He will be there to comfort, guide, and love you through good times and bad. Trust Him from the very bottom of your heart. Listen for His voice in everything you do and everywhere you go. God has given you many special gifts. Seek His will in all that you do. Use your gifts to honor Him. Then you will most certainly stay on the path that God intends for you. Your dad and I would like to thank this church family. Each Sunday school teacher, RA leader, and each member of this church family who has helped guide and lead you to this point. We remember with love and gratitude Grandma and Papa, and are thankful for Grammy and Papa, who by their Christian example laid the foundations for our Christian home. Matthew, we all love you very much, and we celebrate with you your decision to now publicly accept Christ as your Savior.
Matthew, because you've accepted Jesus Christ and publicly professed Him, it's a pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Matthew, your dad's behind you here, and he's got your candle. I want you to hang on to that and put it somewhere where it will remind you and let your light shine before men, okay? This is Dylan Rollins. He's taller than I am. I would like to invite his family members to stand who've come to support him, as well as all those who've had a part in his Christian education to this point. I want you to join us in standing as well. And Dylan, your mom's right here, and she is coming to the microphone, and she's going to deliver a charge for you this morning.
This is a quote from William Barclay. Prayer is not a way of making use of God. Prayer is a way of offering ourselves to God in order that He should be able to make use of us. It may be that one of our greatest faults in prayer is that we talk too much and we listen too little. When prayer is at its highest, we wait in silence for God's voice to us. We linger in His presence for His peace and His power to flow over us and around us. We lean back in His everlasting arms and feel the serenity of perfect security in Him. This is a promise from God, from Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life, from John 3:16. And Jesus said to Thomas in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Dylan, this is what you chose. 2 Timothy 2, parts of it. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is Christ Jesus. Endure the hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ. If we died in Him, we will also live in Him. If we endure, we also reign with Him. My hands are shaking a lot. I know everybody can see that. Instead of us being your leader, you have been ours. And I want you to know how proud I am of you for choosing Christ to be in your life. You've grown into such an exemplary young man that it's hard to believe that almost 18 years have come and gone as quickly as it has. You've always been a child that was spiritual, even when you were little. I could see it in you, and we're very proud of you. Your family and friends are so pleased that you heard with your heart and you answered with your soul. We love you.
Dylan, because you've accepted Christ and you've publicly professed Him, it's now a pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Dylan, your dad's behind you here, and he's got your candle. And as a reminder, keep that and place it somewhere where you'll remember to let your light shine before me. It's a glorious day when the children of God profess Christ publicly. We'll leave the water in here if we need to come back and do this next Sunday. It serves as a challenge to us to let our light shine before men so that they can come to know the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. These young men have begun that journey. I challenge you to let your light shine before men.
Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we have seen the close of one year and the beginning of a new one. We always look for that fresh start as a way to recharge and refresh ourselves. Perhaps this year can be a time to place our focus closer to you. While 2008 was challenging, let us pause and give thanks to all that you have blessed us with. Thank you for your love and constant presence, even in the midst of our failings. Thank you for this nation and all its freedoms and opportunity. Thank you for our families, moms, dads, brothers, sisters, sons, daughters, grandmas, nanas, and papas. Thank you for our church and its compassion and caring nature in good times and bad. Lord, thank you for Jesus and the reminder that our struggles are nothing compared to his sacrifice. Father, thank you from the bottom of our heart for all you give to us. Amen.
NIV version this morning. Matthew chapter 16, 13 through 28. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom."
And I'm reading from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign over your reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from the death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace.
Let's join our hearts in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come before you in prayer. God, we seem to find ourselves these days in the midst of difficult times. Right now, all the news sometimes seems to be bad or worse. But as Christians, we can always be a people of hope and of joy, because we always have you. and we always have the opportunity to serve you. When the doorways of service open, as they often do even more frequently in these times, please help us to walk through, not just stand in the doorway or try to send someone else. You have truly blessed us, Lord, with the College of Ministry and the strength, the resolve, the focus, and the boundless optimism of this group remind us of what we should all feel under your care. As we offer you this service of worship, help us to be worthy of that which we praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. I think I'm a little more nervous today than I am when I play the flute, and that's kind of weird. But don't worry, I won't picture you naked or anything like those. It's so good to be back at College Park after almost a year of being away at school and working and that whole mess. But I'm so excited to be back here and to let you know what God has been doing in my life, because he has revealed himself to me in just numerous ways, especially this last semester. And I just want to share some of the things that I've been learning from him. This past semester, I've really learned about the power of God. As Christians, we say with our mouths that we believe in this powerful God, a God that split the Red Sea, that raised Jesus from the dead, that healed and fed thousands. But at the end of the day, our actions really have nothing to show for it. We don't pray big prayers and expect them to happen. You know, if this power is really as big as we say it is, then why is it not more of a big deal to us? I have a theory. But the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, that really happened. I don't know if you guys know that or not, but that really happened. They were thrown into this fiery furnace, and all of a sudden, the guards see a man, and they're with him. And they walk out completely without a scratch, without a hair on their head being burned, and while all the guards were burnt up like a crisp. That really happened. But if you put yourself in that position, and you were thrown into a fiery furnace, do you truly believe that God would be there to save you and walk you out? I think that we tend to think that, you know, God won't do that for me. He won't do that for my circumstance. But let's just be honest. We need to be stop being so self-centered to think that we're exempt from the Lord's blessing, because we're not. That God who saved them is the same God that's here today in this place. He is unchanging. He is alive and he is active. And we need to treat him as so. I don't think you can rank God's miracles, but he's performed a miracle in my life recently. I'm in the nursing school at UNCG. It's my last semester. Amen. But there are 5 trips that the senior nursing students can take that are overseas. China, Russia, Honduras, Dominican Republic, and somewhere else. And when I first heard about the China trip, I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. And then I saw the price tag of $2,500. I said, yeah, that's not so cool. Would like to go, but in this economy, no one really has that type of money to just go to China and have fun. So I was to everyone was asking, oh, are you going here? Are you going there? They asked me, Liz, are you going to China? And I kept saying, no, I'm not going. Too expensive. I heard God's voice one day. He said, have you asked me if I want you to go? And I said, okay, all right. So I went home. It was a Sunday night, and I really prayed hard about it. I said, Lord, give me a sign. If you want me to go, I need a clear-cut sign. I'm not good at reading you, so I need something to tell me that I'm going. So the next day, I went into my community nursing class, and instead of having our regular professor, it was the professor going on the China trip with just pictures of this China trip going behind me. And I'm like, okay, so let's see what we can do about this money thing. I kind of feel like he's wanting me to go. So I go down and get the scholarship application. It's a scholarship that one person from the nursing school can get for all of these trips. Didn't really think I was going to get it. So I got the scholarship application and I'm reading it over, and it says preference will be given to someone in InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. Check. Nursing Christian Fellowship. Check. and leadership in any other campus ministries. And I had just recently taken on a leadership position with my church in Greensboro. So I'm like, okay, so I might have a pretty good chance. It also said preference will be given to board members of nursing organizations. I didn't have any board membership. I was a member, but I didn't have any board membership. No lie, 10 minutes later, one of my teachers comes up to me and says, Liz, we just had a board membership position open up in A&S, and you would be great at it. I'm like, okay, so let's go with this. Only problem was $200 was due, like, the next day to hold my spot. I went over to my fiancé Travis's house later that evening, and he had done a research study in the summer and had a $400 check, but for some reason he just didn't cash. That's unbeknownst to me and all of the other Chinlin girls, but for some reason, he hadn't cashed that check, and he looks at me and says, I want you to have this $200 to secure your spot. And for me to lay my pride aside and say, okay, I'll take that money, I did. So he gave me that $200 to secure my spot. So I continued praying about this and, you know, the Lord to show me, and so did Travis. And Travis and I have both learned this semester to listen to God. I think that quote this morning about we don't listen enough is so true. And so we've been praying and actually waiting for an answer, listening in silence. And Travis was in the shower praying one day, a good place to pray. And he was praying about, like, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want this world, you know, what's my purpose in this world? And he heard the Lord say, you are going to be serving me full time. He's like, okay, well, what's that going to look like? Do I have to go to seminary? He said, you don't have to go to seminary for what I want you to do. Okay, well, where am I going to go? Like, China? And he said that the Lord said, yes, just right away. I was like, but wait. Liz is going to China, and the Lord said, I'm sending her there so that she'll get a heart for it like you're going to have. So we kind of look at each other when he told me that, like, okay, this is kind of getting a little eerie, but we need to keep praying to make sure that we're not misunderstanding anything. I think it was that next following Sunday we were sitting in our church at home, Air Greensboro, home, whatever, and we were sitting in our church, and they were talking about how the churches in America are just, they lack passion and they lack excitement for this powerful God. And he said, but I want you to just look at this video that I'm going to play. And this video comes up about the underground churches in China and missionaries in China. We look at each other from across the sanctuary. Tears are rolling down my eyes because I just feel in my heart, you're going to China. You are going to not just go on this trip, but you're going to return, and you have a purpose in China. So we went to our pastor there, and we're like, we think we're being called to China. And so he said, well, just keep on praying about it. So we do keep praying about it. And one day Travis opened up a devotional book that he hadn't opened up in years. I'm talking years. And it was just one kind of those day-by-day things. Opens up to that day, and there was a Chinese dollar bill laying right in the middle of that book. So, you know, God has really just given us these signs over and over. The moment we start to lose a little bit of faith and think that, oh, well, maybe we're just misunderstanding you, he says, no, you're not misunderstanding me. You're going. Right before exams start, I get a letter in the mail, and it says, congratulations, you've got the scholarship to go on China, fully paid. $2,500 scholarship. I started hyperventilating in the car. It was a pretty incredible experience. And so I'm getting ready to go to China in April, and this will not be my last trip. It will not be our last trip. But I've learned many things through this entire experience. I've learned that the more prayers that you pray, the more answers that you see. And I've also learned that when you pray for certain things, you have to be willing to hear the answer no. I think that sometimes we're not willing to hear no, and so we just think that God didn't answer. No, he answered. He's just not giving the answer you want. Expect big things, because we have a really big God. We have a God that split the Red Sea, for goodness sake. He can send us to China. He can heal people, and he can do it now. That God answers in many different ways, and nothing is off limits. Yes, he can talk to you if you're willing to listen. There's no right or wrong way to hear the Lord. God will open and close doors for you to get you where he wants you. And if you are feeling like, yes, this is the will of the Lord, then you're going. You're going to get there. You don't need to worry about money or whatever other obstacle that you think is holding you back, because we have a really big God. The most important thing I think I've learned is that if you hope in the Lord and not money, not another person, nothing else, then he will renew your faith day by day, little sign by little sign, and he will lift you up to soar on wings like eagles.
Sound like Big Roger over there for a second, but we'll take it. Well, I was up here 4 years ago, well, almost 4 years ago, for senior in high school, youth Sunday, and now it's college Sunday, and I'm a senior in college, and kind of just want to talk about how much I've matured in my faith and just in general. And to start out, I'd just like to point out that this isn't a soccer ball tie. Thanks, Dad. But I'd like to really direct this to the youth and to the newly baptized. And I just want to show you how much this church has meant to me and what you've done for me in my walk, because it hasn't been easy. I'm a college athlete. Well, I was a college athlete. It's over for me now. 18 years of soccer and all that that's just spent, it's over, and it's kind of a shock, but you guys are helping me get through it. So I just like to start out. There's three aids that I've considered and that have helped me get through college. They are having faith, prayer and friendship, and then the last one is kind of a saying. It's don't wait. And I'll start out with having faith. I like to start out with Hebrews 11:1. Some of you, if you want to turn your Bibles, it's my favorite verse, and it means a lot to me. Mostly, at least once a week, almost every day, I think about this, and it's, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And that just kind of sticks to me. You know, we're certain of what we do not see. Air. I got it. It's right there. You know, God is always there, even though we can't see him. Can't see him in the flesh. He's always there. That's just something, like, deep down, you know that he's always going to be there with you, no matter what. Prayer. Going to Psalm 56:3. It doesn't have prayer in it or anything, but it says, when I'm afraid, I will trust in you. You know, those moments in college when you can have everybody around you, but you can feel all alone. I'm talking to you guys up there. You could be all alone. What are you going to do? That friend that you need to talk to may not answer the phone. Well, there's a guy upstairs that he's always going to answer the phone. You're just a word away. God's always going to be there to listen. And he has the answers inside of you. And he's just waiting for you to realize what you need to do. Friendship. Cherish the friendships that you have up there. You know, those guys, they will answer the phone most of the time. They will be there for you to talk to, for you to confide in. And this church has been so wonderful at friendships. Big Raj calls me all the time. And I look at my phone, and it's usually during a stressful time, like exams, or, you know, I've just had a rough practice or something. I look at my phone and say, who is this? And I'll pick it up. Hello? Joe! It's, you know, a lot of you have had that call before. And it's Big Raj, and he always seems to call at the right time. And just the emails and, you know, the prayers that have been sent my way have just, they touch me, and it's amazing, because I'm able just to realize that I have friends. I have people that have faith in me and that are going to support me, and it's such a wonderful feeling. Lastly, when I say don't wait, this semester our soccer team started a Bible study, and that's a pretty big thing, because the 4 years that I've been there, there's been nothing of the sort. Nobody's even really mentioned it. When I first got there, there were two guys, including myself, that really stood out as Christians. And more came as the years went on, and we kind of banded together this year and, you know, really created something that I felt was truly great in a Bible study. It was small, you know, 7 to 8 people, but 7 to 8 people is better than none. And it's such a great feeling. So I say to you guys up there, when you get to college and the newly baptized, don't wait to do something great. If you see an opportunity to branch out and reach out to somebody, don't wait, because tomorrow's not guaranteed. Jeff asked me, you know, what did God do to get you here today? And how did he present himself? And I answered, through trials. Lots and lots of trials. There's been moments when I've wanted to quit soccer. There's been moments when I wanted to drop out of school. I just hated it. But, you know, God gets you through it. And he really just, he makes you stand tall and just walk proud and really just pushes you. He's that force in your back that's just saying, keep going. You can do it. I'm here. And that's kind of how I've gotten through these past 4 or 3.5 years. Now, he's been there. He's been there to, been that little push in the back saying, keep going. You're fine. You can do it. An example of that is we have a fitness test with soccer, and you have to run 2 miles in under 12 minutes. Travis is back there. He's saying that's his favorite test. Right on. But it's difficult, and we run it in two groups around a track, and it's the worst track you've ever seen. There's potholes all over the place, and you're tired, and it's late or early August, and it's hot. And so my junior year, I'm running around this track, and I've been training all summer, and get about 4 laps in. You got to run 8 laps, and I look around, and I'm by myself. There's nobody to pace me. There's nothing. I'm, man, this is going to be a rough 4 laps. And like that, a Jeremy Camp song just pops in my head. It's Walk by Faith. So I start humming the song in my head. I'm like, I'm humming the song. It should be saving my energy. You know, like, I've got to run. Next thing I know, I'm running around and I'm singing the song. This isn't going to work. Like, I'm singing the song and running. Energy is just being wasted right now. But I just kept repeating, like, I will walk by faith. I will walk by faith, even when I cannot see. And after I finished that, I just realized, okay, God, thank you for putting that in my head, because it makes me realize that you're there. And a lot of you have probably had that time when that song or that verse has popped into your head, and you just think, wow, God, you're here. And I just want to reiterate that you guys have been so great, and you're so great to so many of us. And I know you guys up there are looking forward to the future, and you should be. It's fun. But don't be scared. God's there. He's always going to get you through. He's always going to be here. I'd like to close in a prayer, and then I think Raymond's going to come up. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, thank you for the many blessings that you've bestowed upon us. Thank you for this time of worship and the college students that have come out and just praised your name, Lord. And I just thank you for allowing us to shine your light and on the college campuses, Lord, and that people just continue to see you through us. And Lord, I thank you for this congregation and all that they do. And I just ask that you continue to bless them and just keep them safe, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.
As we approach the Lord's table together, I want to offer an invitation to you. If you are a believer, we have open communion. So if you are a believer and have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we invite you to partake of communion this morning.
Thank you.
We serve a God of covenants. All through recorded history, He made covenants with His people. This morning, we wanted to give you an opportunity. You've seen and experienced a lot in worship this morning. And in your bulletin, there should be an insert that says Covenant with New Believers. This is an opportunity for us to express to God how we feel and what the nature of our relationship with Him is. As you were watching those who were being baptized, maybe you recalled your baptism. And you were thinking about that and thought, I really need to renew some of that energy and excitement and that I felt in my baptism. This is an opportunity for you to do that. Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers for each other and these new believers? Will you persevere in resisting evil, and when you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ and be faithful to pray for those who are lost? Will you seek and serve Christ by ministering to all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? These things we covenant together before God. Amen. Scripture tells us that before they departed, they sang a hymn. So this morning, we want to give you an opportunity to respond to what you've experienced in worship. We're going to stand just a moment and sing a hymn. And as we're singing that hymn, if you are not a believer and you would like to receive the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, I'll be glad to share with you how you can pray to accept Jesus Christ. If you're here and maybe this struck a note with you, you say, I need to recommit myself through the speaking of this covenant and also through prayer. The altar is open. If you'd like to speak with me, I'd be glad to have time to pray with you. If you're here and you're believers and you would like to join this fellowship, there's many ways we receive members in the College Park. I'd be glad to share that with you as well. Whatever your decision is, we invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. to ask you to be seated for just a moment. For those of you who are guests with us, we normally don't go this long in worship. We normally have a pretty good shot at beating the Methodists to the cafeteria, but I appreciate your patience this morning as we've had a lot going on, and I know you've been excited to be a part of that, and thank you for your patience. This morning we have some people that are coming to be a part of College Park. Spencer, come on up. He's already a part of College Park, but he's letting you know this morning that he has prayed to receive Jesus Christ, and he's making that public, and he'd like to take the next step and be baptized. If you'll pray for him and continue encouraging him, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen.
All right, you stand right over here, buddy. We also have the Walkers who are coming, if you would join me. This is Charles and Melba Walker. They are coming to unite with College Park Fellowship from First Baptist Church Goldsboro. So they're coming by letter from First Baptist Goldsboro. If you will love and encourage them and wrap your arms around them. I know they've got a great Sunday school class already, so you're already feeling that encouragement. But if you'll continue to do that, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen.
Fantastic. We also want to have a moment after. I want you to come by and speak with them, but we also want to have our baptism candidates to be here. To families, let me ask you this. If you just have the candidates come up, normally we have families with them, but right now, I think space-wise, we'll just let the candidates come up. And if candidates, if you would come on up, we're just going to give you your Bibles and certificates and let you be a part of this here. Wilson, this is for you, buddy. This is your baptism certificate. Harrison, Owen, Dylan, and Matthew. And Jeff's going to be giving you a new Bible. I want to challenge you guys to read that every day. And as you learn and as you read God's Word and learn from it, if you have questions, we're here to help you. Mom and Dad are here to help you. So I challenge you to make that a part of your everyday life, okay? Do your heads this way if you're going to do that. All right. Very good. Would you join me now standing for our benediction? Dear Father, thank you for this glorious day, a day of worship, a day of celebration. We pray that our hearts have been changed and that that will be manifest in the way that we covenant together with you, in the way that we interact with other people. Father, we thank you for the blessing of this day. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.